In this episode of Fictional Hangover, we discuss original recipe characters versus extra crispy characters, our hatred of Jack and Heath, Dragon being a wiener bag, and our predictions for Found in our discussion of the first three books of the House of Night Otherworld series, Loved, Lost, and Forgotten by PC Cast and Kristen Cast, narrated by Caitlin Davies.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fictional Hangover, a podcast about young adult and new adult books, series and authors that is full of spoilers. I'm Claire.
And I'm Amanda.
And today we're going to discuss Loved, Lost and Forgotten by PC Cast and Kristen Cast, narrated by Caitlin Davies.
Standard disclaimer, if you haven't read these books, please remember that Fictional Hangover is all about spoilers. If you haven't read or listened and don't want to be spoiled, stop listening to us and go read or listen to the books, then come back. If you haven't done this but want to pretend that you have, or if you don't care about spoilers, or if you really want to be caught up before you finish the series, or if you just love the show so much that you don't care about any of that, then listen up. Added an extra one in there. Ha ha ha. Ha ha. Ha. Ha ha ha. Three books this time.
Well, it's not the first time we've done three books in one. All the other House of Nights have always been three books. But if these ones feel a bit longer, perhaps. Not very much.
Yeah, these summaries are just a little bit longer than the original House of Night summaries. There's a lot going on in these books, though, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Before, when we were cramming three books in to one, we were going on a 12-book series, and they were a little bit lighter on details because it was stretched over 12 books. This time, we only have four, and there's a lot going on.
The original series suffered from a lot of repetition as well. They had to re-establish a lot of characters and a lot of backstory again and again and again, rather than just relying on people thinking, hey, this is book 8, maybe I should read books 1-7 first.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think this is going to be a super duper long episode where we might need to put a pee break in it for people.
We might need to.
Are we going to go and have an intermission?
We might have to have an intermission. I don't know what it'll be, but we might need to have an intermission.
That's probably the best.
Although, I would like to say that just looking at sheer like page numbers of our notes and our summaries, still fewer pages than the Diviner summary.
Which we are still currently recording and working on and editing, so close to the end of that one. One day. We'll get there.
So let's go ahead and get into this.
Yes. Have you got any strange background information? Did you find anything in the wacky world wide web of wonderness?
I found something that I was very intrigued by. Not wacky or wild, but I found something that I was very intrigued by. In an interview from BookCon 2017, the interview is called PC Cast and Kristen Cast, Build a World Together, The Return of Favorite Characters by Lucinda Dyer, written June 3rd, 2017. The article says, when the mother-daughter writing team PC Cast and Kristen Cast realized that 2017 would be the 10th anniversary of the publication of Marked, the first book in their best-selling vampire-themed YA series, House of Night, they decided they wanted to do something special to celebrate. We considered teaming up with a few other best-selling YA authors and setting an anthology in the House of Night world. Neat. Really, really cool. We also thought about writing a novella that followed the story of the very first House of Night, but nothing felt quite right, PC says.
I want both of those.
Me too. But then she concluded with, we decided our fans would prefer another novel with their favorite characters instead, which is also very enjoyable.
It's very true. However, I think the fans would also like to know about the very first House of Night and have an anthology set in the House of Night world. I would be very interested to see how other people take this entire universe and create something.
Yeah, I would be interested in what other authors they would have included in their anthology and what kind of vampires they would have come up with.
And would they've all been set with vampires? Because you can imagine, like, say Holly Black, she would have actually done, like, the sprites, perhaps?
Yeah, she could have.
Something to do with, like, old world magic rather than the vampires.
Yeah, she could have.
Depends on people's wheelhouses, but if we want to step out of that wheelhouse at the same time.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm very intrigued by that one. I think that would have been brilliant.
Yeah, I would have liked to have read that. Maybe on the 20th anniversary, we'll get the anthology.
Can we say 15th? I'm patient. Let's say 15th.
We could do 15. That's only 2 more years. Because
they've only got a couple of years. Exactly, exactly. So, you know, they kind of have to get on it now.
Yeah.
No pressure, but can you get on it, please?
Well, they wouldn't have to, because we know these guys can bust out books, like multiple books in 1 year. But asking other people to contribute might take a little bit longer.
Oi, oi. Don't leave your house. Do this instead.
Yeah. But PC Cast is just like, oh, now I'm going to write this story. Oh, and it's done. And it's wonderful. Get it out of the way. Let me do another one. Oh, it's wonderful. Get it out of the way. Let me do another one. And she just keeps churning out books. And also posting on social media and also baking cookies and also, like, celebrating her pagan ways in all of their wonder.
Walking her dogs.
I'm just really surprised that, you know, since we've been in quarantine, I'm surprised that she hasn't already written, like, 12 books and they've already all been published. She's just so talented. She just keeps...
They might be written, but the publishers have gone, can you hang fire just until we've got found out, please? We have this whole big release. Can you just sit on it? Thanks.
Mm-mm. No, because her fans are always clamoring for more. She's going to have an... She's already written... the spinoff series that's going to come from this spinoff series. She's already written it.
Yeah, I am somewhere
positive that they've already been written.
She might be saving it for the TV show. Because like when we did speak to her, please see previous episode where we spoke to PC Cast. Yes, we spoke to PC Cast. She did say a lot of time and effort at the moment is going into making sure the TV show's done right. But the problem is, everything's on hold at the moment.
Yeah.
So she might, she's doing a press junket now.
But I'm telling you, she is using her time, in my own fan fiction of PC Cast's life, she is using her quarantine time to write 1,000 other really great books.
Who have you cast in this movie of her life? By the way, because this is going on Hallmark now.
She's playing herself because no one could possibly be her, but her. So she's playing herself, and she's also written her life story and starred in it.
She's executive producer.
She is. She's amazing in every way.
She's an absolute powerhouse, isn't she?
She really is. Like, she really is.
Completely inspirational. Okay, so I'm guessing your initial thoughts are yay?
Yes, definitely.
And please do more?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I've been with this series since the beginning. Like, yeah. I read the first one as soon as it came out, just, you know, by sheer accident. And here I am. 1,000 books later, still enjoying
them. Fangs well and truly got into you.
Yeah. So what are your initial thoughts? I've been here since the beginning. I am a true believer. I love it. I love everything about it.
And I'm more cynical of the two of us when it comes to the series. I was wondering how different it was going to be from the original. I was worried it was going to be more of the same with the issues that the original suffered from. But I was more concerned that I was going to be sympathetic to Nethferet, because I still don't understand why people in the original series are like, oh, she's great, she's great, she's great. And I'm like, she's a murderous psycho bitch. She's not great. She's got style and panache. She's very focused and driven. You know, she's goal orientated. Which is a murderous, psychopathic bitch. And I was kind of worried I was going to start being sympathetic to Nephiret. I am not sympathetic to Nephiret, having read Loved, Lost, Forgotten.
I always loved Nephiret. I loved her.
I love Nephiret.
I don't want, you know, to embody. Well, no, I can't say that because I do want to become Neferet, but I don't.
You have. You've cosplayed her. You can't say that.
Yeah, but I don't, you know, like in real life, I don't want to strive to be her.
She's not a role model, though.
She's not a role model, but she is a fantastic character.
She is. No, don't get me wrong. She is an absolutely fantastic character. But my concern is, I didn't want to start going, well, I can kind of understand why she's doing it. Because what she does is unforgivable. So,
we're just going to have to wait and see how this series turns out. Because
I was probably just suffering these issues.
After reading Forgotten, before reading Found, you can see that Neferet is becoming a different sort of person. So I wonder what's going to happen at the end. I still want her to team up with Zoe's. Can't get there yet. I need to stop talking about this. But you know what? We need to go back and we need to talk about what we want to happen.
Yeah. At the end, after we've finally finished the Diviner summary and got through all of these ones, let's talk about what we think is going to happen in Found.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get started with Luck.
Let's jump in.
It's been less than a year since everything that took place in the original series. It's the day before Zoe's birthmas, and Kelowna visits her in her dreams, which is very reminiscent of a dream from an older book where he tried to get her to take over the vampire world with him. They talk of his wings being white now that he's back with Nyx in her realm, and he's like, oh yeah, they're white, which is a little bit odd. He's visiting because he senses something bad coming and wanted to warn Zoe, even though Nyx told him not to. Also odd. He tells her to read Neferet's journal, which she buried in Tulsa in 1893, but recently moved to the High Priestess Chamber. Hey, that's Zoe's room, because hey, she's the High Priestess now, and she's the leader of the American High Council. Oh, hooray! Kelowna wants her to alert her circle, even though they're not together anymore. When Kelowna left the dream, his shadow changed into the outline of the white bull. But Zoe didn't notice it. The white bull is already fucking with things in the very, very beginning.
But also, does it surprise no one that Zoe didn't notice it? When she wakes up, she has sexy times with Stark. Then they go and find the journal. Soon after, Aphrodite and Cremisha show up because Cremisha received a poem from Nyx, which is connected to what's about to happen, as it always is. But of course, they don't realise it right away. Also, shock, horror, surprise.
Ah.
This is my surprised face. Or voice. The nerd herd is coming to visit Zoe for her birthday.
Yay!
And that's good! Because we love them. I mean, Stevie Ray's coming back. And as Kelowna said, she needs to gather her circle. At breakfast, Zoe starts reading Emily Wheeler's journal, a.k.a. Neferet's Curse.
And go read
if
it!
If you haven't read it, would you recommend it? Yeah, yes, Amanda says you've got to go read it. It mentions the white bull in the first entry, and so they pity Neferet. She was dealing with darkness back when she was a young human girl. After breakfast, she, Aphrodite, Stark, and Darius plan to go to check on Neferet's grotto.
When they arrive in the park, there's a press conference. Aphrodite's mother is running for mayor. She wants to kick the vampires out and make Tulsa strong again, and we all vomit everywhere.
It's just...
awful. When the reporters ask her why she wants to do this, because the vampires are helping Tulsa, she ends the interview. Surprisingly, however, not calling the reporter who asked that question a racist name or doing something else ignorant. We know clearly who she's based off of, but they didn't get it quite right. They continue on to the grotto, where they find
Garnet. To be fair, Aphrodite's mother's probably got better hair as well.
Well, yeah, it's probably not a wispy comb over. They continue on to the grotto, where they find gardeners working and complaining about all the roses being stolen that afternoon and being replaced with black ones. That is not possible. There is no way that someone could have stolen and replaced all the roses in one afternoon. What is going on? Aphrodite examines them and sees that they are made of darkness.
You don't get those in Animal Crossing.
No, you can't. You can get black roses, though. Then, Aphrodite has a vision through Damien's eyes. They're in the grotto and have cast a circle. In the middle of the circle, disgusting red vampire zombie creatures are crawling out of a hole in the ground. One of them is Jack, who you will remember from his Worst Death in History award, TM. He approaches Damien and eats his throat out. Yikes? Ooh. Question mark?
Ooh. Getting a little bit too amorous there. Ooh. You know, there's lines. So the nerd herd arrives.
Yay!
They don't all seem happy with where they are in the US now. Stevie Ray and Rafame are in Chicago, Damien in New York, Shawnee in New Orleans, and Shaylin in San Francisco. Well, Shawnee and Shaylin are pretty content, but the others are homesick. That doesn't feel like strong enough a word. They have a council meeting with the nerd herd, and also Nicole and Eric and Nanobia, to explain everything. Zoe's Kelowna dream, Kremisha's poem, and Aphrodite's vision. Rafame said Kelowna has never visited him in a dream from a bad place from their past, because he's striving to be good now that he's back at Nyx's side. But that he would ask Kelowna if he visited Zoe. It's good that Rafame's there to check on things, isn't it?
Yes. It's always very good that Rafame is anywhere where Rafame is, because we love him so much.
Agreed. Then Aphrodite tells her grisly vision. Damien decides Nefret is influencing the mortal world, so they decide to create a protection spell around her grotto. To prepare, they study Nefret's journal and several spell books in the school's library.
I want to go to there.
I want to go to their school library, but I'm sick of that library being described. I don't need to know in minute detail how many computers that goddamn place has.
No. I want to know about the books. I don't care about the media center part of it. I want to know about the books. Anyway.
Couldn't agree more.
Zoe decides none of the spells they found will be good enough. So, Grandma Redbird, who arrived shortly after they started their research, suggests that she needs to create her own spell. She asks each of her friends to find an item that represents their element and bring it to the circle casting to strengthen it. They decide that Aphrodite should stand in for Damien, so, you know, just in case the zombie reds do come out, he won't be there to be eaten. The circle is almost finished when Aphrodite's mom shows up in the park.
I
need to add in a boo sound like I did with Defy or Defend. I need to add in the boo sound every time we mention Aphrodite's mom.
I don't think it's going to be in as many times, thankfully.
No, it's not. But yeah, that was pretty bad. At least 20 times we said boo in that episode. As Zoe was finishing her part and cutting a pentagram into the air with an athame, she thinks, I need to be focused, but wouldn't it be great if red zombies did show up and eat Aphrodite's mom? Then she gets startled and cuts herself. And then the red zombies come.
Yay! It's now officially a party.
It's so fantastic. Aphrodite's mom refused to leave and made the reporters who were with her film the chaos. Luckily, the warriors fought off the red zombies and everyone was able to escape. The zombies that weren't taken down decided to split up and spread throughout the town. One looked familiar. Kind of like Zoe's little brother, but no way. There's no way that's happening.
No.
Only one red vampire zombie remained. Jack.
Shocker.
Damien called out for him, but then he looked confused. And then he started to attack Darius, but Aphrodite tased him before he could.
Yay,
Aphrodite!
She's my hero.
They gathered Jack up and left the park. Aphrodite realized the vision she got wasn't about Damien dying. It was about her dying and was way worse than she initially realized.
Well, shit. It's a bit late to start realizing that point of view, isn't it?
Jeez. Yeah. But at least she brought the taser. She was prepared.
Do you know what? She doesn't use this taser enough, in my opinion.
No, she needs to just tase everyone.
Well.
Or just Jack over and over again. While he's in the swimming pool.
or doing hot yoga.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
We really are. I'm just imagining being tased whilst doing a downward facing dog, and it's glorious. Anyways, General Dominic of the Red Army leads the Red Zombies away, but they go back to the park after Zoe and her group leave. They need to feed, so they eat the reporters that came back to retrieve their equipment. Finger-licking delicious. Then they have to figure out where the High Priestess is and where they are. Because his Tulsa isn't right, and Nefret is nowhere to be seen. The general's second-in-command, Heth, has trouble following orders because he just saw his sister, his dead sister, close the circle and flee. Heth is Kevin Heffer, Zoe's younger brother.
Gasp!
OMG. In his world, Zoe was beheaded and staked outside of the house at night. That same night, he was marked and gifted by Nyx. He, unlike other Reds, has kept his memories and his humanity.
Oh, are you telling me that he's special?
He's very special.
On their way back to school, Jack wakes up. He is freaking out. He asks where High Priestess Nefaret is. He says Damien is dead. He killed himself 6 months and 2 days ago. He calls Stark General and the rest of them rebels. He says he can't be at the school and needs to be where the Red Army is, in the depot tunnels. Uh-oh. Is that where all the others went? Yeah. There's gonna be a lot of dead people very soon, if so.
What are you telling me? Yes. What? What's happened at the tunnels?
Oh, everyone in the tunnels and at the all-night restaurant at the depot has been eaten. There was an all-you-can-eat human and fledgling special that night. Nice. They're all dead. They're all dead.
Better than the seafood buffet.
It is. It is. Zoe called Detective Marks to get some cops to go to the depot and then closed and locked the school. Darius and the Sons of Erebus warriors are sent out with the police to protect the city.
The nerd herd goes back to check on Jack. They learn that the House of Night he came from is a stronghold for Nefret's Blue Vampire Army, led by General Stark, and the depot is the Red Army stronghold. They show him around their House of Night to let him see he's in a different place and that they are not evil rebels trying to kill him. I mean, Aphrodite might still be trying to taser him.
If any of them are smart, they're plotting his demise already.
Oh, Aphrodite is all of us. He finally, fully believes them after seeing that humans are free, not refrigerators. That's a t-shirt if I ever saw one. And that Lenobia and her horses are still alive. They interrogate other Jack, as he is now affectionately called, but about what his world's like, and it's a pretty terrible place. Nefaret has taken over with her vampire armies, blue and red. Red fledglings are overcome with bloodlust and can barely function when they're not killing people. They also crave living flesh, and their bites are contagious.
No,
all bad crack. They don't create other vampires, but they do create zombies, who can then create other zombies. His world is not a pretty place, which is why he wants to stay. Kick him back.
Yeah, send him back. Push him back through that hole in the ground. I love that we have two zombie books back to back, P.S.
Yes! I like the fact that we have some diversity in this book of supernatural creatures.
Yes. Detective Marks and Darius and the rest of the warriors return. All the humans and fledglings in the restaurant were killed, as we knew they would be. Zoe tells them other Jack's story and lets Detective Marks know that all the dead bodies need to be decapitated or burned so they won't come back as zombies, because severing the spine or burning are the only ways to kill these red creatures, who are very like classic vampires.
That'll kill anything, though.
It really will. It really will. The warriors and the police are going to search for the Red Army in the tunnels and capture them while the sun is up. If they can find them.
After hearing other Jack's story, Damien is sad. Well, he's been sad for a long time, but this just takes the cake. Grandma Redbird brings him some turquoise and helps him realise a few things, that he is suffering from depression. And that he wants to actually truly live, not just survive, really. And that even though other Jack is different, he's still Jack. And that Damien would love him in whatever body he returned in. She also brought Duchess to go with Damien to visit other Jack.
Yay, Duchess!
They talk about how much they miss the other versions of each other, how the other versions are dead. Jack, by the worst death in history, trademark, and Damien by suicide, and then they kiss. Other Jack turns feral at this point, but then touches Grandma's turquoise, which hurts him. In shame, Other Jack tells Damien and Duchess to leave, but they don't. They stay with him until he falls asleep.
Aww. It turns out, not everyone escaped safely from the grotto disaster. Aphrodite's mother was bitten and is in the ICU, but doesn't know that she's going to become zombified. Aphrodite goes to visit...
I would argue with her attitude she already is a zombie, but...
She is a terrible human being. She is already a bony on the inside.
Yep. She's going to do some meat slopping.
Ooh, no. She's going to do some bony betrothal.
Yes.
Aphrodite goes to visit her mom. And of course, she's awful, telling her that she's going to help her with the mayoral election by pandering to the wealthy white voters, the only voters that matter. And we all die again. They're going
it's
to
like
charge...
It's like PTSD or something. You know, you start getting shakes thinking about...
It's terrible.
That it's vitriol, terrible. It's terrible. Horrible rhetoric.
She also decides that they're going to charge double for everything vampire to make lots of money for Tulsa's elite. She tells Aphrodite that she can pretend to be human passing enough to help her, which is so offensive in every single way. Aphrodite tells her mother that she is a monster, and she's going to become a monster, and she's going to die a monster. And she leaves the hospital while her mother yells at her.
And we all stand up and cheer Aphrodite as the one true prophetess and priestess of Nyx for being an absolute badass and not taking any more shit from her mother.
Yeah. Yay, Aphrodite!
Anywho, Zoe, Stark and Shawnee are headed to the tunnels to help the warriors and Detective Marks track down the red zombies when they come upon Aphrodite shambling through the street.
Oh, no.
She's drunk and high and sad.
Oh, Aphrodite, come
Which,
on.
Given the confrontation with her mother, is unsurprising.
Yeah.
Zoe tells her she needs to get her life in order, and this makes her angry. So she quits the Tulsa House of Night and says she's moving to New York. Now, we all know that's not going to happen.
No,
she gets
happen.
Back to the school and goes to Nyx's temple. Aphrodite is struggling with the fact that she's becoming terrible, just like her mother, and decides she doesn't want to do that and wants to get sober and is met by Nyx. They talk about Aphrodite losing her mark when she gave the red fledglings their humanity, whether or not these other red fledglings and vampires deserve to have their humanity back, and whether or not her mother deserves a second chance. Yes to the red fledglings, and no to her mother. Nyx gives the other reds their humanity and heals Aphrodite's mother, and also gives Aphrodite a new power. She is now a bridge between worlds and can grant people second chances. She also becomes a fully changed vampire. Not red or blue, but red and blue. Ooh. And when she gives a second chance, she will lose part of her mark. And when it's all gone, she will become human again. Will have a family with children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Then die peacefully at an old age.
Does this mean that she and Darius are not going to be together forever? Because clearly it does, because vampires can't have children.
I have questions about this, which I was going to ask.
I need to know. And I have a theory. But we can't talk about it right now. Meanwhile, Damien wakes up in other Jack's room to find him sobbing and holding Duchess. Can I just say I was really worried that other Jack ate Duchess at this point.
Oh.
But you know what? It's not after sundown, and he should not be awake by now. Something is going on. Somehow, other Jack's humanity has been restored. Aphrodite saunters in, makes sure that other Jack is restored, sees that he is, and leaves the boys to celebrate. Wink, wink.
Ooh.
Also, meanwhile, Zombie Red leaders Dominic and Kevin search for their secret entrances to the tunnels that they've hidden all over Tulsa, but, you know, they can't really find very many of them. They finally get underground to rest, splitting up into two locations. Dominic with the red vampires and Kevin with the red fledglings. But Kevin begins to worry about possibly being in another world and hopes that Zoe will help him. Suddenly, instead of falling dead asleep like the red fledglings normally do, they jolt awake and realize they aren't craving human flesh anymore, and they can remember their lives after the change. What is going on?
Have you ever woken up and realized that you no longer crave something? Because I've never woken up and
realized I've never craved something. So what's going on? What is happening? We know what's happening, but they don't know what's happening. Many of them can't handle whatever it is that just happened to them and freak the fuck out. Some of them run out of their hiding place into the sun and the waiting police, and they don't survive.
Yikes.
Kevin decides he's going to go to the House of Night to find Zoe when the sun goes down. Probably a good idea.
Yeah, it's probably the most sensible thing that's happened, apart from tasering Jack. Zoe desperately wants to find Kevin because she's pretty sure it was him she saw earlier. She feels badly that she abandoned this world's Kevin after being marked, but she was disowned by the step loser while he was adopted by him. Their older sister Barbie is just fine on her own, studying booze and boys in college, but she realises she shouldn't have left Kevin. She and Shawnee and Stark searched for him earlier, but gave up as the sun rose and Stark couldn't be out, and all the captured Reds were gaining their humanity back, and Zoe needed to be at the school. Now the sun is going down again, so she's about to go out and search, but then, with fame, Stevie Ray arrived.
Yes!
But with dire news.
Oh no.
Kelowna told Rafaim that he did not visit Zoe in her dream.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, who did then?
Oh.
Okay. It was the white bull the whole time.
Oh no, bull poopy. Oh no. Oh no, y'all. The white bull.
That phrase is worse because of the white bull so often being in the books. It's like, now I just imagine that's the white bull having the bull poopy, and then she just curses using bull poopy.
That's a terrible curse, then.
It really is.
Kevin shows up at the House of Night and joins up with Zoe and the Nerd Herd. He tells his story from his world, and here's the abbreviated version. Reds are bloodthirsty. Ones that have any grasp on anything other than blood are made leaders of the army. Neverett started a war between vampires and humans. Stark is a general there, is blue, and is a consort of Neferet. Kevin knows nothing about the bulls. He was marked the day Zoe died in the exact same way Zoe was marked, except red and not blue. It turns out that he is his world's Zoe. But wait, is he?
There's more?
But wait, there's more. Does he have an affinity for all five elements? What? Reds aren't allowed to cast circles or be anywhere near Nyx or have anything to do with the elements. So, we better do a test.
They cast a circle, and of course, Kevin has an affinity for all five elements. They celebrate this until Kevin breaks down, atoning for his past. Then he realizes he has to go back to his world and defeat Neferet. But how do they send him back? Hop on a plane. I mean, yeah. Just like Zoe just taught him with closing a circle, they have to do everything they did in Woodward Park, but in reverse. And they have to do it now. Zoe tells him to find his own Nerd Herd when he gets to his world and come back if he needs help. All this world's Nerd Herd are sad that he's leaving, especially Aphrodite, who seems to have a deeper, almost romantic connection with him. He's got a major crush on her, obviously, but it seems she's reciprocating just a little bit because they even kiss. The group does everything in reverse this time, thinking that Aphrodite's mom deserves a second chance instead of thinking she needs to be eaten, and sends him on his way. When they get back to the House of Night, Stark surprises Zoe with a slumber party in her old dorm with all her friends and grandma and popcorn and brown pop.
That sounds fantastic. I want to have a slumber party with grandma and brown pop and popcorn.
Well, I'll have a slumber party with grandma and popcorn.
You can drink Aphrodite's champagne before she pours it out.
Deal. Aphrodite gets a phone call then that her mother OD'd, so she pours out her champagne and dumps her Xanax down the toilet.
Please don't dump medication down the toilet.
No,
please don't do
never
that.
Do
that's
this.
Not that's not good. Don't do it.
Always return medication to a pharmacy. Always.
You are friends with Detective Marks. Give it to him. He'll take care of it.
So, good for you, Aphrodite.
Yeah.
This is huge.
This is a big step for her.
Massive. Finally, the next day, Zoe goes back to the grotto. She prays for Nyx to keep other Kevin safe and realises that she pities Nefret more than she hates her and tells her to blessed be. Then calls her Kevin. As she's talking to her brother, tendrils of darkness reach out for her from the grotto.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh.
Nipping at your toes.
So I almost feel like this could have just been a one-time story. And I could have ended there and I would have been okay with it.
Yeah, it wrapped up. As curious as you would have been about the other world, Kevin, and what's gone on there.
I think it could have ended. Because you know that he is Otherworld Zoe.
So it would have gone exactly the same way, except...
Except a little bit different. So you know it would have been okay.
Yeah.
But we know that our dear good friend, PC Cast, had already written so many of these stories, so they were already done.
There's like 16 million of them now. She's written about another 1,000 more.
I know, and I can't wait
just
to read all
of them.
Just
as we've been reading the summary.
Yep, and I'm going to read and own all of them. No question about it. Now it's on to Lost. Lost begins... not in the grotto, where we last left Zoe, but with other Kevin as he steps through the portal back into his own world. He gets to work right away, using his red vampire mind-reading powers to borrow a human's car and drive to see Grandma Redbird. She's wary of him and refuses to invite him into her home until he gives her a pouch the grandma from Zoe's world gave him. It's exactly like the one she's currently wearing around her neck, with a note inside to trust him, written in her own handwriting. Look, if you can't trust Grandma Redbird...
you can't trust anyone.
You can't trust anyone. So yeah. Even if it's other Grandma Redbird, you gotta trust her.
Yeah, completely. Completely.
So she, of course, invites him in. Because, of course, she does. Because Grandma Redbird is great.
And then Kevin Nipsey sort out.
Yeah. She wouldn't that be great? The end. All right, wrap it up. Okay, he doesn't eat her throat out. He tells the story of what happened in Zoe's world and that he has to be the one to stop Nefera in this world. She listens thoughtfully and immediately agrees to help. Because of course she does. She takes him to the hideout of the Resistance Rebels. Because, of course, Grandma Redbird is a member of the Resistance. She is perfect in every way. They're hidden on an alfalfa and Scotty Dog farm that belongs to one of Grandma's friends, Tina. Can I just say that I'm pretty sure that Tina is PC Cast?
I 100% agree. That's exactly who I imagined when...
gotta be. She's gotta be.
When she was in.
When they arrive... it takes a little bit for Tina to realize that Kevin is not a bad red vampire because in this world, they are literally all bad, every single one of them. Trusting in Grandma Redbird, she gives in and lets them pass to find the Resistance. Hopefully it goes well and he can convince them that he's the one that will destroy Neferet.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Oh.
Meanwhile, Zoe is super stressed, which... That just seems to be on par for her.
She's always stressed.
She always. And she's very worried about Kevin and about the fact that Heath is alive and well in Kevin's world. Jack offers to help relieve some of Zoe's stress by teaching her yoga, because he's a certified teacher before he was marked in the other world. And I say that with all the cynicism as the person who does yoga.
He's a child.
She turns him down but offers to let him teach a class at school.
To relive, I feel like it's nepotism. She's given all of her friends jobs. You gotta interview a proper yoga teacher to have them hired on and working at your school.
Exactly. Any teacher. To relieve some stress in the best way she knows how, she goes to visit the stables and takes a nap with Persephone, her favourite horse. She dreams of being a regular fledgling again, but then Nefret comes to visit her dorm room. Nefret says that her stepfather has come to visit, so they walk to the east wall to meet him.
No!
Warning! The east wall is bad.
Don't go there.
When they get out there, the step loser is nowhere to be seen. Then Nefret decapitates Zoe with a sword to start her war. We should say oh no, but I think...
it's other Zoe, isn't it?
It's Zoe. So this is how she died. Before she wakes up, her head tells her, "You have to help Kevin stop her. Nothing else matters." Stark comes to her, but she doesn't tell him about the dream.
Come on, Zoe. Don't you know better by now to tell people when stuff is happening to you?
We've already had 12 books of this, Zoe. Come on.
No. I just want to say that I want to say the prophecy that Viggo the Carpathian made just before his head died. That's the vision that I got while I was reading this. Death is but a door. Time is but a window. I'll be back. But it's Zoe's head. Sorry. I had to put Ghostbusters in. You know I did. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm disappointed that this is the first reference to Ghostbusters we've come across yet this episode. Not in the game tonight, missus.
Sorry. Kevin and Grandma travel down the path from Tina's house, leading to the Resistance, and are met by Dragon Lankford.
Yay! I have mixed feelings about Dragon.
He doesn't believe that Kevin has changed and is not controlling Grandma, so he swings a sword at them. Kevin takes the blade to the back and is wounded pretty horrifically. Dragon's mate, Anastasia, arrives then with a raven on her shoulder. Grandma implores them to smell his blood to see that he has changed. Anastasia believes, but Dragon does not, because he's a cocky little jerk no matter what world he's in, and we all hate his guts out, or at least I do. Eric Knight and Johnny B show up to help, and Dragon sends them to make sure the Red Army isn't going to ambush them, since they've clearly sent Kevin and Grandma here. Come on. They bandage Kevin and head to the encampment, where Anastasia sews his wound while he tells Dragon his story. Dragon has trouble believing. Then Anastasia's raven flies in, calling, "Danger!" And Eric rushes up to say the Red Army is on its way. Dragon tries again to behead Kevin, but he backs away, saying he'd do anything to hide them. His back wound splashes blood on the rock wall, which calls old magic spirits to him.
Ooh.
He asks them to hide the group from the army and pays with his blood.
Blue General Other Stark and Lieutenant Other Dallas are leading a Red Army to check out the alfalfa farm, completely coincidentally. Stark hates the Red Army. Really, he only cares about himself and Nyx, but he definitely can't let Nefereth know that.
Nope.
Dallas turns off the electric fence and they investigate the farm. Suddenly, Stark sees a sprite fly by, and then there is an ice storm that stops the red fledglings from being able to continue. Stark thinks the sprites are there to protect the ancient Creek Indian lands, so they leave. Was that a sign from Nyx that Ephoret is doing good work? Or was it a sign that she's doing terrible work?
I mean,
neither. It's the latter, really. But, you know, neither.
After they're safe from the army, Kevin calls the sprites again and asks them to make the cave larger and to shield it so they will be safe from discovery until they no longer need protection.
These bloody sprites.
Stop calling them, dude. You found out that you have an affinity for all five elements. Use it. He pays them with Grandma Redbird's medicine bags. Each time he calls the sprites, his payments will have to be increasingly more interesting. So maybe he shouldn't call them so much?
Why does he keep calling them? It's driving me crazy.
Stop it. Zoe feels the old magic that Kevin is using. She's having a conversation with Stevie Ray and Cremisha about Cremisha taking Stevie Ray's place in Chicago when it hits her. Stark comes running, and so does the rest of the nerd herd. Zoe decides she needs to use old magic herself to ask what's going on. Because let's just old magic willy-nilly all over the place. She calls for an earth sprite, and Oak emerges. Oak is the same sprite that helped Kevin. She tells them that Kevin and Grandma Redbird and their group are being shielded by earth magic. Zoe asks Oak to relay a message to them, but she won't, and she leaves.
Sassy little sprite.
Nope. Not gonna do it.
She just nopes on out of there.
Nope.
Kevin sneaks into the other House of Night campus, planning to go to the morgue to find some dead red blood to perfume himself so that he can blend in enough to spy on what the armies are planning. This stink perfume is a brilliant plan, and of course, because it's a brilliant plan, it was devised by Grandma Redbird. She must have watched Warm Bodies or listened to our episode about it, so we're taking full credit for that.
Yes, we are. Pretty sure that's what happened. Yeah,
exactly that way.
Yeah.
He finds other Aphrodite in the morgue meditation garden, praying to Nyx. Neferet appears and chastises her for having a vision and not telling her about it. The vision was of a blue vampire being killed by the Red Army in a field of wheat. She says she can't give any more details, which Neferet doesn't understand and hates. As she leaves, Neferet threatens to send Aphrodite to live with the Red Fledgings if she doesn't start acting the way she is expected to. Aphrodite stays, complaining to Nyx about Neferet, which makes Kevin laugh from the shadows. They talk about being sad about things and what they've lost, and then Aphrodite leaves. She was only semi-terrible, so that's, like, a good side?
Yeah? Is it? Yeah? Kevin sneaks to the field house, hoping to get into the basement. On his way, he hears guards talking about a meeting Neferet planned. Perfect! He can't get into the basement because the door is locked, so what does he do?
He uses his elemental affinity to open the door.
No, he calls old magic again to unlock the door.
Oh, man.
He really needs to stop doing that. Like, seriously. Meanwhile...
It's a crutch.
Meanwhile, in Zoe's world...
Oh, no.
She's planning a sexy evening with Stark.
No.
Wearing only an old, holy t-shirt, she plans for them to eat nachos on the floor and watch Game of Thrones. I tried really hard to say that in like a serious voice.
Drinking Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper while eating nachos on the floor. As they're making out, Zoe gets a twingle of old magic again and decides she has got to do something. Kevin is using it too much without knowing the consequences.
In the basement, Kevin finds guns. Lots of guns and grenade launchers and machine guns. What? Neferet has taken over the surrounding states and now has guns to use to advance her armies. How very American.
Ah.
Patriotic?
No.
Edit that out.
Guns! Woohoo! I got my guns! Is she going to partner with Aphrodite's mother? And they're going to make Tulsa strong again with all their guns!
Guns!
Woohoo! Yeehaw!
He has got to tell Dragon before the briefing. He stopped on his way out by other Stark and other Dallas and pretends that he got lost coming back from a mission given to him by Dominic, which is why he has no idea where they are. Stark feels like something is wrong and assumes Nefret is doing things without telling him. I mean, that's a sound assumption, really.
Yep.
So he invites Kevin to go to the briefing with him. So much for talking to Anastasia's Raven and telling Dragon about the guns. Guns, guns, guns. As they're heading to the briefing, Aphrodite approaches. She's a hag from hell again in this world. But Kevin wouldn't know that. He thinks she looks thin and worn and is covering up for how she really feels on the inside. Stark mentions that Aphrodite might be joining them on the battlefield soon and that she should have more respect for the red vampires that put themselves on the line every day. Sigh.
Like, sometimes you can get with Blue Stark and he's like, hey, yeah, something's not right here. Something's not right. And then he's like, oh no, Aphrodite, you're going to have to come with us. You need to show us proper respect. And then you just kind of want him to die. Anyway, Aphrodite is hiding something. She's hated Nefaret since she saw the slaughter of Lenobia, Travis, and the horses. At the briefing, Nefaret says the tides are turning in the war, but not in their favor. Stark says he's noticed something changing. He calls Kevin forward to tell what happened to the missing squadron, and Kevin makes up a huge lie. And Aphrodite knows it. Then she pretends to have a vision about being killed in a field by red vampires. She pretends to faint, and Kevin catches her, and they have a whispered conversation about each of them being fake. Are they on the same side? Question mark. After the vision, Nefaret declares she's sending Aphrodite out with the army to find the correct field. They clearly hate each other, and Nefaret is trying to get rid of Aphrodite. Clearly, 100% everyone knows this. Kevin also gets to go on this mission with Stark. He slips away after the briefing to alert the resistance.
Kevin can't find Anastasia's Raven to alert them, so he calls on old magic again to find him.
Shocking! So surprised.
What is that feeling where you're beyond rage because somebody's stupid? Because I've surpassed that.
Yeah. Just face slap.
Yeah. He pierced the sprites with some of Aphrodite's hair that he accidentally pulled out when he caught her. Which I think is absolutely rude of him. Like, you know, I'll just offer up this other person's hair as payment to a sprite.
You know what? He can't give it back to her.
No, but you can ask permission. You ask permission before you perform magic on other people's bits and pieces. Mm. I've read the books about fair tricksy folk.
Mm.
Anyway. The Raven appears and he writes a message about the guns hidden in the basement and attacks on the field. Zoe decides that she has to tell Kevin to stop using old magic and is going to use Cremisha's old Kelowna poem to open a way between worlds. Stark is getting frustrated. Again, because Zoe keeps disappearing and lying to him about where she's going. He follows her and it turns out she's going to Heath's grave and has been talking to him even though he's dead. Stark is jealous because she's been talking to a dead guy instead of him and her circle. He's also upset because other Kevin told her about Heath being alive in his world.
Okay, look, I gotta say something about this. It's really frustrating.
Please intercede. Yes. Please.
It's really frustrating that she's still so obsessed with Heath, but it's only been a couple of months since he died, and we have to remember that. It hasn't been 13 years that it's taken for these books to come out. Like, it's only been a couple of months. So it's okay that she still loves him, even though we hate him so much, even though we hate all of his guts out. It hasn't been that long, and he was her boyfriend since she was like 8.
Totally agree. It's fine. You can, even if you are 50 years down the line and you're married with somebody to somebody else with their children, it's still okay to visit a loved one's grave. It's fine. It's natural. It's fine. My only issue is that Zoe should have said to Stark that that's what she's doing, and Stark should have respected it.
Yes, Stark should have respected it for sure. And yeah, she should have told him where she's going, because she never tells anyone where she's going or anything terrible that's happening, and then shit happens because of it.
It's a security issue more than anything else. It's not a control issue, it's a security issue. She's the High Priestess and the leader of the North American Council of Vampires. you need to know where she is.
Yeah. And Stark is her sworn warrior and guardian. He's got to know where she is.
Exactly.
But still, stop being such a dick about it, Stark.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I've got issues later on that happens with Zoe and being a dick. So, well, we'll get to that. Stark talks to Stevie Ray about it and then realises that Zoe is going to go to Kevin's world. Zoe's at Heath's grave now, but this time her Kevin shows up. They talk about her going to the other world and he offers to go with her, but of course that can't happen because he's not a vampire and would probably most definitely 100% die there.
Yeah. Yeah, he would. But he's a good little brother.
Yeah, bless him. He had to put up with a step loser longer than she did.
In the other world, Aphrodite goes to the field with Kevin, Stark, and Dallas. Looks like Kevin's message got through because there are no Resistance Blue vampires hiding anywhere. Aphrodite and Kevin start to have a conversation about why Kevin is different and why he doesn't want anyone else to die, but they are interrupted by Stark. Aphrodite goes for a walk and sees the Resistance walking through a river below them and goes to tell them to run away. But Dragon kidnaps her! Because, ugh, fucking Dragon, of course he's gonna fucking kidnap her. Kevin followed her and goes to talk to Dragon to tell him to let Aphrodite go, but Dragon is a wiener bag. Stark and Dallas yell down from the ridge looking for her and Kevin. She yells that she's peeing and puts on a good bitchy show that makes them leave. I love this whole scene. It's fantastic. Dragon sees that he can trust her and invites her to join the Resistance, but she obviously cannot do that. She goes back to Stark and tells him she's leaving and makes Kevin drive her back to the House of Night. She gets him to tell her everything, then sends him shopping for new clothes for himself because she has a plan. Her plan is to make Kevin her personal soldier and servant.
That's the important thing.
Yes.
Servant.
She lets him stay with her in her opulent room at the House of Night. That's a good plan.
It's an excellent plan. She always has the nicest rooms.
Yeah, she does.
Zoe plans to go to the other world just like Stark and Stevie Ray knew she would. The last time she talked to Orc, she was tasked with healing the tree at the East Wall in order to open a portal to the other world. The whole nerd herd is there, minus Stark, who shows up later, super jealous of Heath. Again. I know. Zoe tells them her plan to take Raphaim and Stevie Ray to Otherworld to release Kelowna. They cast their circle to smudge and heal the tree to open the portal. But they do it to a song. And we all cringe. And die inside. It was going to be the excellent choice of Queen. That's awesome. But instead, it's the My Favourite Things song.
No.
From Sound of Music.
No.
Jack.
No.
Jack, why? Why don't you just go and fall on that goddamn sword again? Damn you, Jack. Damn you.
Oh my god, I hate him so much. They travel from the House of Night to other Grandma Redbirds, and she takes them to the Resistance. When they arrive, it's almost sunrise, so they explain to everyone that Raphaim is about to turn into a bird. But he doesn't.
What?
I know. Anastasia reasons that he has no penance to pay Nyx in this world, so he gets to remain human. That's amazing. That was only a couple of lines. Should I keep going?
Yeah.
Other Aphrodite tells other Neferet and other Stark that Kevin is going to drive her to Dallas for some retail therapy. But really, they're going to the Resistance. Neferet demands that she be back for the football game she has planned for the next night.
I don't even know if Neferet knows what football is.
No. As they leave Neferet's office, Aphrodite has a vision. But one like in Zoe's world, where her eyes bleed and she goes blind.
Oh, that's a tasty vision.
Terrible. She's never had one of these before in this world. She saw what Neferet is going to do at the game, and it obviously isn't good.
What, she doesn't bring tea and cookies for everybody? Are you telling me there's something else?
Yeah, it's bad. They get to the Resistance, and of course, Dragon is a bag of dicks and doesn't want to let Aphrodite ever leave again because she's gonna go tell Neferet where they are. Oh, fuck you. stupid wiener bag. Like, she clearly cannot see. Her head is covered up right now. She's blind. Fuck off, dragon.
Zoe tells her that she started getting bloody eye visions in the world when she decided to be on Nyx's side and gave the red fledglings their humanity back. So this Aphrodite is obviously on the right track. Bloody eyeballs is a good side. Aphrodite reveals what it is that Nefret is going to do with the game. She's going to let the red fledgling army eat the losing team. You know, if that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what else will.
This might be the most exciting football game that anyone has ever seen, though.
Well, I've never seen an American football game, so I'm up for it. Zoe talks about how she was trafficking with darkness in her world and had tendrils that she treated like children, but only those who had dealt with darkness too could see them. Kevin saw some in her office when Aphrodite had her vision.
Oh no.
She's on her way to becoming a Tasai Sigili in this world too. Zoe plans to sneak the resistance into the football game by using stage makeup to cover their marks. They're all sure Nefret and her minions will pay no attention to humans at the game, so she's going to cast a circle to surround the stadium, and when the Red Army starts to eat the losing team, she and Kevin are going to call Orc and get the sprites to balance the darkness scales and grant the Reds their humanity. I like the fact they're already eating when she starts this plan. Aphrodite agrees to pay the old magic price, even if it means losing her mark in this world too, because it's the right thing to do. And hopefully it will help her atone for all the bad and selfish things she has done.
So right now, I'm just going to skip over the fact that Zoe is mopey about being away from Stark, because it's been like less than a day. And yeah, he's a dick for not understanding that she didn't go to see Heath, but to save the world, blah, blah, blah. He's a jealous wiener bag in this one. Get over yourself and get ready for this fucking football game, because you know it's going to be bad. One good thing from this bit, though, other Nala shows up and chooses Kevin. Instead, let's talk about other Stark and how he's worried about Neferet's plan to have the Red Army stationed at the football game, because clearly they're gonna eat everyone. He thinks that Neferet is changing, and he maybe even sees the tendrils of darkness. This is not good.
No.
But maybe Stark is not such a terrible guy?
I mean, he's still a wiener bag.
He is. Everybody's a wiener bag.
That's very true. Kevin and other Aphrodite talk about the Zoe world Aphrodite, which leads them talking about them. They kiss. A lot. And they have sex. A lot. They love each other and have bonded. Now it's time to go to the football game. How romantic.
So
while there, Zoe sees Heath. Mm. And she sees him kiss a cheerleader. And at this point, we come back to Claire's thoughts on this. She says some very nasty things about Heath moving on and not from her, which is very selfish and not very nice. And I lose a lot of respect for Zoe. Not that I have much at this point, to be fair. Other Aphrodite and other Neferet are in the press box watching the game. You know they're not watching the game. Which Neferet thinks is terribly boring. She asks about Kevin and says Stark didn't order him to follow Aphrodite.
Is she putting pieces together?
This is puzzling. This is like a Sudoku of people. Since she is bored, she announces at halftime that the Red Army is going to eat the losing team. I am with you, girl. I am the fact that you waited till halftime, I have a lot of respect for that. I probably wouldn't have lasted the first 5 minutes. And, you know, it goes about as well as anyone would expect. Heath led everyone in holding their fists up in protest. Zoe calls a circle and announces that the resistance is there to save everyone. She and Kevin use air to get to the press box. Finally, he realises he's got freaking elemental powers, the douchebag.
But
our friends are in the box as well.
Zoe's using her affinity.
True. Aphrodite, Stark, Kevin and Zoe stand against Neferet. Stark calls off Neferet's kill order and asks Zori to prove she is working with Nyx, not Neferet. Dude, it's obvious at this point. She and Kevin call the sprites and ask them to cure the abomination of the red vampires. Neferet tries to get Ulk to listen to her, and she believes that she speaks for Nyx. Ulk laughs and says Neferet hasn't worked for Nyx in like a century. That's a long time to try and like coast along on your job, isn't it? Ulk takes Aphrodite down to the field to complete her sacrifice, while Neferet escapes on tendrils of darkness.
Other Aphrodite's sacrifice is much worse than simply losing her mark. In this world, she is dying. Kevin holds her, and as she dies, she tells him she loves him. Crying ensues. Nyx comes down to talk to them then and explains why Aphrodite had to die. She told the red vampires that they weren't responsible for what they did and takes away their sorrow. She gifts Kevin with a new tattoo across the scar Dragon gave him on his back and tells Oak to take the three back to their world with no further payment. When they get back, they are greeted by their friends and are filled with love. Always love. That was a terrible ending to a book.
Yarp.
Because everybody loves Aphrodite so much and she just died.
Yeah. But we have another book to discuss.
We do.
Forgotten. In the beginning, we have a creation myth about the worlds being created and Mother Earth gifting Nyx with the power of the elements. She gifts her favourite daughter to companions, Kelowna, formed from the earth and the moon to be her lover, and Erebus, formed from earth and the sun to be her friend. We know from the original series that Kelowna became jealous of his brother and was cast out of Nyx's realm and had to atone and die to get her back. But what if that didn't happen?
Other Erebus wants to tell other Kelowna about what happened the night that he saw them together and his jealousy developed, but Nyx made them swear an oath never to speak of that night.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. She can't bear the thought of the vampires learning how they were created. P.S. Read Kelowna's Fall. Now Erebus wants to break that oath to save his brother and his goddess. So he does. He reveals that when Kelowna saw the two of them together, they were talking about Kelowna. Erebus then gifts some of his joy to his brother, and his jealousy evaporates. They make a vow to not allow anger to win. It's a pretty good vow.
Yeah.
They go to visit Nyx, and they're all happy for centuries, but then loneliness and despair overcome Erebus. Kelowna calls to their Earth Mother and makes a sacrifice to her to create an immortal mate for his brother. She drains his life energy and tells him he must rest in the Earth until a prophecy is fulfilled. As he is sinking below the Earth in what will become Tulsa, Oklahoma, he sees his brother's mate taking form. A beautiful man steps forth, and the Earth Mother names him Eros. That's the god of love and sex and passion. Perfect for Erebus.
Brown chicken, wow, wow.
Finally get some lovin'.
Back in present day, other Tulsa, other Neferet escapes the football game on her tendrils of darkness and goes to a bar and kills people there. This is brilliant. Have you ever gone to a sports game and just said, I just wish I had some tendrils of darkness to escape?
Yeah.
And I could go to a bar?
I would love to escape a football game on tendrils of darkness.
Personally. I mean, this is a goal in life, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So stirred by this chaos, the White Bull arrives.
No!
What a dick. He tells her how to become immortal and that he will become her consort.
No.
And she's pretty disgusted by the thought of being this bull's consort. Unlike Zoe's Neferet. And so she tells him that she's not worthy of him until she is immortal. At this point, we all cheer.
Yes, because, we do.
Dang, yes, girl. Do. She's not only turned down the White Bull, but we're all like, thank God for that.
Yes.
Thank you, Nyx. Please, thank you. No. Thank you.
Ugh.
She will go to Skye, as he told her, become immortal. Then they can be together.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. She's totally playing him. She immediately goes to the House of Knights airport and is greeted by other Lynette, who becomes other Neferet's assistant and her handmaid. She is very impressive. Her organisational skills are like top notch.
Yeah.
She knows who is in charge and what to do to survive. She made it clear that no one is to know Neferet is there, but the pilot tells a crew member with a crush on her. She has her darkness kill them both.
Yay. Yeah, she does, because she does not put up with that shit.
Nope, she's a badass lady. She and Lynette will fly to Scotland and stay in a bed and breakfast Lynette has just rented for a month.
I want to do that.
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's do that right now. Let's just rent a B&B in Scotland somewhere.
Can we ask for donations?
Yes. They do also have lovely lodges in Scotland as well.
Yeah.
Nice lodge.
Let's ask for donations from our listeners to send us to the Isle of Skye. Ready? Go. That probably is not going
to
happen.
We should have send us to the Isle of Skye like a charity t-shirt. On the red bubble.
We should. Let me get on that.
For lols.
Check back fictionalhangov.redbubble.com. That'll appear eventually.
You can put that over your decolletage as well.
Yes. Woohoo. Other Kevin wakes up, not doing very well after Other Aphrodite's death. Other Heath comes to visit him at the House of Night. He saw Zoe and asks Kevin if she was a ghost. Kevin tells him the truth about Zoe, and then Heath leaves. Kevin goes to a high council meeting, led by the new high priestess of the House of Night, Anastasia. Hooray, good job.
Yep.
And its new swordmaster, Dragon, whatever.
I mean, he was the swordmaster in, Zoe's.
Yeah, so he's been a swordmaster since before he was changed.
Yeah.
We know this if we read Dragon's Oath, which you should. They talk about the red fledglings constantly killing themselves and try to figure out how to stop them. And, they talk about the other unease that is happening at the school as well. They know that Neferet is after immortality, but they're always one step behind. Speaking of, Other Lynette and Other Neferet arrive at their bed and breakfast in Scotland, just on the other side of the loch from the Isle of Skye. Neferet begins courting the sprites that live in the loch and makes an offering to them.
Other Kevin talks about Kelowna and how Zoe's Neferet became a Tasai Sigili, and how their Neferet doesn't know about the way to immortality. Yep. Grandma shows up with Karamisha's Kelowna releasing poem that Zoe gave her and a poem and drawing left by Grandma's great-grandma. Karamisha's poem.
It's the same poem. It's amazing.
Karamisha's poem from Zoe's world is more negative than Grandma's poem, and that's because Kelowna was given joy and sacrificed himself for his brother's love. They decide they don't need Kelowna until Neferet becomes immortal, but they do need to deal with Lorien Blake, because the guy is a douche.
Oh, it's so terrible. It's terrible in every world that he's ever going to live in.
Yeah, he's still on the High Council, but just recently removed by Anastasia for clearly being too into Neferet still. I mean, it was so obvious. Just because you're the poet laureate gives you automatic council status.
No. Fired.
No.
Fired.
They decide to send him to the High Council of all High Councils. Coach.
I love that. Even though I hate Dragon, I love that he's like, yeah, let's make him fly coach over there. We hate his guts out. Let's make him fly coach.
Yeah. So the plan to let red fledglings attend classes and work to make all vampire life better.
Aww. Other Grandma teaches Kevin and Other Stark that they will love again and they shouldn't be so obsessed with the loves that they have lost. Grandma smudges Kevin and tells him it's okay and important to cry.
Grandma Redbird, we love you!
We love Grandma Redbird. Other Lynette and Other Neferet and the ladies running the bed and breakfast, Wee Denise especially, Wee Denise, yay, we love Wee Denise, they bond during their time there. Neferet goes out each night making offerings to the sprites around the loch. She will have to prepare a special sacrifice for the last night, but for now, she is leaving things like bowls of chocolate and scotch and seashells for the sprites. Lynette tells Neferet that she's laughing like when she was 16, only meaning that she seems youthful and joyful. But Neferet did not have a happy childhood. She was raped, not by her father, as Zoe's Neferet was, but by the man she was betrothed to. She was marked that same night and returned to him later, strangling him with a strand of pearls. Lynette was also raped by pretty much any man that her mother wanted to keep around. They had terrible lives.
Yeah.
After they bond through these stories, Lynette teaches Neferet how to skip rocks. And it's really cute. Then, Lynette shows Neferet screenshots of deleted Twitter posts about Zoe the ghost. And I just gotta ask, did Heath start these posts? Because he thought that Zoe was a ghost.
I would be surprised.
Did he start it?
He's a ruiner. Yes.
He's a ruiner. Yeah. They keep popping up and being deleted over and over and over again. Neferet tells Lynette about killing Zoe and that that ghost is no ghost, but some girl pretending to be Zoe. It could be a spell, but probably not. Whoever it was, they knew a lot about Neferet, but not a lot at the same time. It's kind of weird. Kind of weird what that ghost girl knows.
Back in Zoe's world, she, Stevie Ray, and Aphrodite are getting on a school bus. They are taking some House of Night students to a swim meet. A kid named Casey, who Aphrodite calls Ice Cream Shoes, transferred to the Tulsa House of Night when Stevie Ray moved back. Casey is a fast swimmer. She's also excellently sarcastic and droll, and I love her. Yes, Aphrodite jokes that Casey gets a second chance after she drops a file and then picks up everything again. But then feels weird afterward. They get to the swim meet and feels very uncomfortable because people are ignorant and will probably treat them differently. During the meet, Casey, who was the anchor of their team, begins to act strangely. She jumps into the pool and starts her laps, but then starts coughing. Blood.
No.
Yeah, Stevie Ray jumps in for her while Zoe takes control of the crowd. Aphrodite and Jack get everyone out of the pool because Casey is dying.
No.
Zoe calls water and fire to shield Casey and Stevie Ray with steam, then calls spirit to fill Casey. They hold her as she dies. Aphrodite knew that her joking comment about giving Casey a second chance meant that she was going to die and come back as a red fledgling. She also knew that part of her mark disappeared when she said it, and that's exactly what happened. Casey woke up a mere 8 hours later, a fully changed red vampire, with an affinity for both fire and water, knowing that Aphrodite gave her a second chance and feeling something big and terrible was coming. Ah, hail!
Ah, hail. Speaking of big and terrible, other Neferet is making her final offering to the sprites and asks them to appear. Oak and some others show up. Neferet asks for a task to earn secret entrance to the Isle of Sky and tells Oak that she wants to learn about sprites and old magic and that she will let more people learn about them too once she takes over the Isle. Oak sets her a task to kill her past and her future. This is puzzling.
Yes.
She and Lynette try to figure out that riddle. Lynette tells Neferet that she enjoys their time together, and Neferet says she'll have a special place in her council and be with her for a long time. And at this point, I am saying, please don't kill this Lynette. Please. Please don't kill her. Please don't kill her.
I was saying something very similar, like, oh, Lynette's gonna die.
Don't do it. Lynette says if she was tasked with killing her past, she would kill her 3 ex-husbands, which inspires Neferet to kill a lover from her time at the House of Night. Lauren Blake! And we all cheer!
We all cheer.
Lynette searches for him on the internet and sees that he has been dismissed from his position of poet laureate at the House of Night, and they plan to lure him to London to kill him. Wee Denise comes in to hear them planning to kill Lauren with poison and offers to get some. Then she swears herself into Neferet's service. I love Wee Denise. She's like, oh, Mrs. I heard you talking about poisoning someone. Let me ask my grandma. I'll give you some poison. And she was like, yeah, okay.
I think, you know, on TripAdvisor, that's a 5-star service right there. Yeah. You know,
this is the bed and breakfast that you want to
say. Bed and breakfast provided the poison I needed. Full service. Great homemade bread and scones. Convenient Sprite location.
It's perfect.
Other Kevin and other Dallas talk. Dallas wants the war to keep going. I mean, to be fair to Dallas, he's a douche. He's having a party and it's just as awful as the one from the original series. So, other Erin and other Shawnee come by to go to the party. Erin is just as slutty and terrible as Zoe's Erin, and Shawnee apologises for being awful. Kevin is called to the media centre and receives notification that Lauren Blake made a terrible Instagram post. It's just the worst. Just the worst. And is probably going to meet with Neferet. Ugh, cringe just thinking about it. With the rest of the council, they decide that Lauren knew about Zoe coming from another world with an immortal Neferet, who she trapped. Kevin knows he's going to have to go back to Zoe's world, and other Stark says he's going to. And we all scream, fuck off, dude. Fuck off.
Lauren arrives in Neferet's hotel suite. He complains about how much attention they're paying to Zoe and that she came from a mirror world. He tells her all about Zoe and Kevin and immortal Neferet being walled up in a tomb in Woodward Park. She tells him about trying to become immortal and thinks, why doesn't she just go to that Tulsa and ask that Neferet how she became immortal? Sounds like a brilliant plan.
It does, but this also sounds like other Neferet is trying to, like, cop out on her homework.
Yeah, it kind of does. He mentions that the sprites and old magic are how Zoe traveled between the worlds. They begin to make love. But then Neferet stabs him, drinks his blood, and bites at his throat.
We all cheer.
And we all cheer. Hooray! Hooray. She leaves him in the hotel room to die. And she rides the elevator down, removing her hat and sunglasses that she's been wearing to hide herself, and says to the cameras, good luck finding me, I'll be in another world. Or something like that, and it's fantastic. She and Lynette celebrate at a restaurant and plan to travel to the mirror world. Lynette starts freaking out because it's her credit card that was used to book the hotel room, but Neferet assures her she'll be safe. She'll always take care of her because Lynette gives her her humanity. They'll go to the other world together.
Aww. Aww. Other Kevin and other Stark find out that Lauren Blake is dead, but the crime scene photos show that as he was dying, Lauren wrote sky in his blood. I mean, to be fair, that's pretty good, considering how much he was bleeding out. Kevin and Stark plan to go to the Isle of Skye immediately to stop Neferet from going to Zoe's world. In Zoe's world, Aphrodite gets a vision of someone dying, a woman in her mid-40s, outside of their world's Woodward Park grotto. Neferet is there, but flickers between like a scary spider Neferet and a beautiful one, and then darkness covers Tulsa.
That is a terrible vision.
She's not having a good time with these visions, is she?
Mm-mm. No. That is terrible. Other Neferet and other Lynette go back to their bed and breakfast. Neferet is planning to go to the other world immediately. She gives gifts to the three ladies that have been serving her. She calls Oak and the sprites, and Oak is surprised to see her even though she's only killed her past and has not yet completed her tasks. Neferet tells Oak that she's given up on that life and wants to do something else. This counts as her killing her future, conveniently enough. So, Oak opens up a path to Skye. Neferet tells her she doesn't want to go there anymore, but wants to go to the other world where Zoe lives and where Kevin travels. Oak requires a great sacrifice to open this path. Neferet's only friend, Lynette. Neferet refuses because she needs Lynette. So wee Denise offers herself as sacrifice, and in doing so, becomes a sprite.
Yay!
Yay! Oak opens the door to the other world.
The end.
End.
For now.
For now.
Yeesh. Yeesh.
Flew and heck, it's been an hour and a half.
Yeah. It's going to be a long episode.
Blumenheck.
Do you know what? Wait a minute. What about this idea? Can we just not do our favorite moments and least favorite moments and save it all for the end?
For next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's all tied together, isn't it? To be fair, it's just one big long story.
Yeah. That is so long. This is such a long thing that is happening right now. So much has happened.
So much.
So much. But there's only one more story to go.
Yeah.
So what if...
Uh-huh.
Gasp. We go straight to our excellent game of Would You Rather. And then discuss all of our favorite moments and stuff together in our last book discussion. And we just put it all together in one.
Yes. Yes.
Is that weird?
Yes.
Is that
no,
weird?
No, I love that idea. I love that idea. I love that idea.
It's kind of weird.
It is. It's strange. It's not right. It's weird. I'm uncomfortable with it, but I also love it.
So let's just skip everything.
Yes.
Which is going to be really weird.
Yes.
And let's play Would You Rather.
Yes! I'm so excited.
Yay!
I am so, yay, so excited, yes, for this week.
Yes, me too.
It's going to be good.
We have Superfan joining us.
Yes!
Yay! We're so excited that Constance is back. This is going to be weird, though. Let's play. We're going to play Would You Rather right now and then skip all of the discussion and then have our predictions. It's going to, yes, be a weird episode, but just deal with it.
Go with it, people. Go with it. It's basically, this is part one of two.
Yes.
And then join us again next week for part two of two, where we discuss Found by PC Cast and Kristen Cast, audiobook narrated by Caitlin Davies.
Excuse me, isn't that my line?
Yeah, but we're going to go into Would You Rather now, so.
Okay. Is it time?
Time, it's time, it's time. Let's do this. Let's do this!
It's time.
Hang on. Woo! Hang on. Wait, hang on. Who's that?
Wait.
Interloper. Intruder. Who is this?
It is your favorite crazy listener, Constance. Hello. I'm back,
hey,
again.
She loves us so much that she came back again.
It, yes, wasn't even that difficult to ask. I mean, wow.
Nope. I'm
looking
in.
For punishment.
It was either this or warm bodies.
Oh, warm bodies was so fun.
Oh,
loved
was.
It.
Meat slapping.
God, Nicholas Holt.
I know. I swooned. I swooned 10 times in that episode. I counted.
Oh, don't blame you.
The author of War Bodies has liked it, our episode, on both Twitter and Instagram. Yay!
Good, you should.
It's fantastic. Nice. I just want Nicholas Holt to like it.
Yeah.
Or my tweet about it. My tweet about needing to apologize to him.
Do you know what? I wonder if they do tend to like ignore the crazies.
Probably do. They should.
We'll listen. But we're not talking about War Bodies,
no,
are we?
We
are talking about PC Cast and Kristen Cast's Otherworld series. Well,
yes, yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Well, the first three.
The first three, indeed.
Yeah. Love, lost, forgotten.
Loved, lost, and forgotten.
I almost forgotten what the order was.
Oh, no. It would be a terrible lost for all of us. No, stop it. Bad.
So, okay, I'm going to jump right into our,
yeah,
social media question.
Do. What's our first question?
On social media, we asked, would you rather have a cat or a dog? It seems like a very simple question. It's not. It's not. On Facebook, 61% said cat and 39% said dog. On Instagram, 27% said cat and 73% said dog. And on Twitter, 50-50.
I feel like we need to specify real quick why we asked this question, because it does not fit in with any other question that we have ever asked about anything ever.
It doesn't. Do you want to fill us in?
Yes. Well, we all know in the House of Nightworld that cats are very, very important. But we have learned in this spinoff that dogs are important too, to help with the humanity of the red vampire zombie whatever they are. So we thought it would be important to ask if you would rather have a cat or a dog. But we couldn't explain that to everyone because not everyone has read these books, and we know this. So we have to generalize it.
Yeah.
So here, that's where we are.
I think it's safe to say the world is just basic. Even though Facebook prefers cats and Instagram prefers dogs and Twitter's 50-50, I think Twitter might have the right of it. Straight down the middle, everybody is either, it's either cat or dog. There's no particular favoritism.
They're wrong. Cats. Cats.
No, it's definitely dogs.
Cats.
No, dog. Dog.
Cats.
Cut your tongue. Constance.
Cats. Oh, no. She's fighting the cat battle with me.
Both. Cats and both.
Hairball stuck there while you're coughing.
Cats. I love them. Cleopatra and Pancake. Team cats.
B and Gozer. Team cats.
No pets. Still team dog.
I love dogs. They're cute. I just don't want to live with them. I'd rather go and visit and play with them and then come home to my very low maintenance cats who just want cuddles.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I'll say the same thing.
Yeah. My friend's got a six-toed cat. It's got it looks like it has an opposable thumb.
Polydactyl cat.
Yeah, she has a polydactyl cat. And it looks like it wants to murder you. It has that look in the eye where, you know, if you fall asleep for just a bit too long, the chances are it's going to be gnawing at your soft parts.
It's going to sit on your chest and suck your breath away.
Murderous cats are so cute.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
they really are.
Mm-hmm. I'm just not a fan, and the cat pee smells so bad.
Well, that's why you have to clean up after them. Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just not a fan. I like a dog.
Can I just say that we probably shouldn't like the smell of pee, no matter whose pee it is?
Sorry, what? Did I pass out? Who says they like the smell of pee?
You were just talking about cat pee and dog pee.
So you're talking about liking the smell.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't be pleased with either smell. You shouldn't like the smell of cat pee or dog pee.
All right. The final thing in defending cats. Cats don't have to be taken on walks out in the rain, brought in with that wet dog smell and bring mud into your home.
I would be worried if a cat had a wet dog smell. I really would. Because you wouldn't have a cat, you'd have a dog.
Do you know, I really wish that I could put leashes on my cats and take them for walks, because that would be funny. But they would just roll over and like attack the leash. So
yeah,
they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I would like to take a cat on a walk one day.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, one day. So we know how we feel about cats versus dogs. Cats, cats are the best. Do we have any comments?
We do. Are you going to tell Jackson Ford when we speak to him eventually that cats are best because he's a doggo?
I'll have to tell him. We'll have to tell him. It's going to have to be done.
Yes. I mean, he won't understand, but fair. Steph on Facebook. I love puppies, but kitties will always have my heart. They can be mischievous, snuggly, and talkative, and most of the time, self-sufficient.
You're right, Steph.
Yes.
Kitties are the best.
Cats for the win.
Emily on Facebook. I love my cats, but it's my dog that I have the best connection with. He always knows when I need him and forces me to do things that are good for me that I don't want to do. My cats usually don't care where I am or what I'm doing. See, cats don't care.
They care in their own way.
They do care. You have to have a good cat that you have raised well for it to care.
Mm-hmm.
My kitty cat Bee lays with me all the time, especially when I'm sick. He lays with me to help me feel better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm hurt or sad or sick or whatever, my cats come rushing. It's like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? We're here. Plop.
Yep. Yep.
That's to ensure that you are still going to feed them.
Or that your corpse is still warm enough for them to eat.
Yeah. As soon as it gets to a certain temperature, ooh, them's good eats. And lastly, Headzilla on Twitter, doggo all the way. I'd rather have a companion that would be by my side and care about me rather than a small, fluffy creature that would lick itself while I get murdered with a rake.
Like a dog.
Why a rake?
Why a rake? That's a good question.
That's an awfully specific murder weapon.
I also feel like, you know, if you've got the dog who is there caring about you whilst you're being murdered with a rake, that a good doggo would take the rake away as if it were a stick and he were playing with it.
Yeah. So
that's not really that good of a doggo. No. If you're still getting murdered with a rake.
It's true. It's not a good doggo. All right. Second question. We also asked this second question on Facebook, but specifically to the House of Night Facebook fan page. Mm-hmm. I was really hoping for more... for a little, maybe a little bit more even the responses, but no. We asked,
it was very decisive.
Would you rather drink blood or eat hair? And in this instance, we're talking about the sprites, because the sprites are very important in the Other World series. Yes. And you have to give them offerings for them to do anything for you. And a lot of the time, the characters give up their blood. But one time, they offer hair to the sprites. And I just thought it was great. So I wanted to know, if you were a sprite, would you rather drink blood or eat hair? 98% drink blood. 98. 2% said eat hair. And do you want to know something? I was one of the 2%.
I was one of the 98.
I was one of the 98.
A lot of people responded, though, which is good. We had a lot of votes. So it wasn't just like me. I'm the 2%. It was me and one other person. But anyway, yeah. There were a lot of votes, and I was very pleased with it, but yeah, they did not vote the way that I wanted them to vote. Dallas said, I can't even touch the hair in the shower drain without gagging.
I mean, to be fair, shower hair drain is a very really specific gross substance.
I definitely do not want to eat that hair. That's gross.
Oh, no.
It'll probably go down easier because it's wet.
Nicole said, cut off hair just freaks me out. I hate looking at it and I can't imagine eating it. Oh no. So blood it is. Okay, good. Tara, saving the best one for last. Tara is my friend who voted with me, apparently. I don't know Tara in real life, but I can tell by her response that we would be friends in real life. Tara said, posing the question as you did from the perspective of Oak and the sprites, if you look at it from their view, I think the hair would work in several ways. They like something different and interesting. Blood is very normal, and for them, a boring offering after the first or second time. And depending on the person, we will use Aphrodite as an example. She obsessed over her looks, but will not flinch over offering up blood. But if you ask her to cut a hunk out of her hair, I think she would balk and ask if she could bring clippings from her stylist so that it won't ruin her look rather than take a chunk right out at the moment. So to the sprites, that will be amusing for the sake of her vanity. And I just got to say, thank you, Tara. I'm applauding you. Thank you for thinking of the question the way I asked it.
That is probably one of the most thought out answers I have ever heard to any would you rather question. They've really gone to the source material on this one.
I'm very pleased with Tara. Tara, contact us on social media and I will send you a sticker because you deserve one.
For wanting to eat hair.
For wanting to eat hair, you deserve a prize.
I think you need to develop some special stickers where it looks like two sprites, Lady and Tramping, that hair.
Gross. Yes. So what do you guys say?
Blood!
Blood!
Why? Blood.
Because it's not brown pop. I freak out when there's even like hair in my mouth. I'm like, I like grab my t-shirt and start looking at my t-shirt to get hair off my tongue because it just feels awful. I don't even like dental floss. I don't like that kind of thing in my mouth. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. No.
Constance?
My hair goes everywhere. It gets stuck in my mouth. And I'm just always like, God dang it! Blech. Blech. I don't want to intentionally put it in there. Blood. Why not?
I eat blood. Technically. In black pudding. Delicious.
I just want to harken back to the last time we had a conversation with Constance on the podcast. And I don't remember what the question was necessarily. It had to do with a horse and having hair in your butt. And I talked about...
Having horns or a tail.
Having horns or a tail. There it is. And it was a horse hair tail that we debated for quite a bit. Okay. And I mentioned in that podcast that I always had hair in my butt. So clearly, you know, it might have passed through the system already. So I'm already eating it.
You're describing eating hair and the resulting aftermath is like worms. If you had a stomach worm, that's how they extract them. This is disturbing on so many levels. And I'm really enjoying it.
I think it's great. And it's fine.
It's an image in my head that is just not going to go away anytime soon. Like, you've got the hair wrapped around a pencil and you have to slowly twist it around and you bent over and your booty's in the air. You're like, twist, another twist, let's get rid of the hair, let's get rid of the hair.
Why am I twisting my butt hair onto a pencil?
Because it's I'm liking it to one of those tapeworms that you get, and that's how they extract them, pull them out through the butt.
You extract your butt tapeworm with a pencil too?
I don't know. I've never had a tapeworm. Would I be this size if I had a tapeworm? I would name it. I would cherish it. And then I would say, get out! I'm freaking out thinking I had a tapeworm.
And you would give a pencil. Get it out! Holding up the pencil. Get it out!
I'm a medical professional. I'm the opposite of a medical professional. I'm like a health and safety violation.
Yep. I agree with that. That is great. Let's move on to our next question.
Oh, dear me. Next question, next question, next question. This is just for us.
Nobody else was asked this question.
No, just us in this virtual room. Would you rather sacrifice Wee Denise or other Lynette?
Neither.
Wee Denise.
No!
Well, okay, she becomes a sprite. So Wee Denise is not out of the game. She's still there. She's still existing. You don't know what would happen to Lynette or how she would be sacrificed. And no. So Wee Denise, plus you barely connect to her. You actually care about Lynette. And yeah. Wee Denise.
Okay, if you sacrifice other than Lynette, I think it's a great sacrifice because of the connection that she and Neferet have started to build or have built. Whereas, like Constance says, Wee Denise is like, she's just kind of there for a short period of time. So it's not the same level. I think it would depend on what I need doing.
Well, getting to the other world, obviously.
Well, if that was the case, then I love Wee Denise. I love Wee Denise. Wee Denise is like one of my favorite characters. But then I really like other Lynette.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she already died. She was already sacrificed, like original Lynette was sacrificed. Let other Lynette actually live and have a life.
Original Lynette was a spanner. Original Lynette was a complete spanner. She was all over the place. She didn't know what the hell she was doing. She didn't know if she was coming or going, if she should be with Neferet, or if she should stay the hell away. If she'd stayed the hell away...
Stockholm syndrome.
Does it develop in 5 minutes? I would just say it was shit scared. I'm going to say Wee Denise, even though I don't want to.
Yeah, I'm going to say Wee Denise too. If we were talking Lynette, not other Lynette, then fine. Sacrifice Lynette, that's okay. I mean, we already
push her over the edge if it was original Lynette.
Yeah, we threw her through the barrier. used her to kill Thanatos. It's fine. Just chunk her body through and it's fine.
Bye-bye.
How many uses could you have for it? Because then you could use her blood and her bone and her hair. It's like, can I get something else if you want some good eats?
Yeah. No? I mean, she's not there anymore to make people dance for you.
Let us do the Charleston.
So sure, let's get rid of regular Lynette. Yeah. Keep other Lynette and sacrifice Wee Denise simply for the amount of time that we've known her. We have known Lynette for about 38 more minutes than we have known Wee Denise.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And okay. Half the time Wee Denise is just in the corner being quiet.
Yes. Next question. After we all sacrifice Wee Denise and Lynette, because both of them need to just go.
Yeah, yeah. I've got some other people I'd like to sacrifice.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lots of sacrificial land.
Ah. The person in this next question we're probably going to sacrifice to. Would you rather have Jack teach you yoga or swimming?
Swimming.
Why?
My head would be underwater if you tune him out. And he wants to do hot yoga. What the heck? No.
No. That was the greatest answer.
That was really good. Yeah. Mine was going to be very close, and then I would be in a swimming pool farther away from him, but underwater, you got it.
You could have like a swimming cap on and stuff your ears with like padding so you can't even hear him, and you wouldn't be able to tell because you could put your swimming cap that little bit lower.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you would know what he was saying because he'd be doing this.
Oh. Damn it, Jack.
Damn you. Damn you, Jack.
Are you also swimming clear? Is that
you know what the annoying thing is? The really, really, really annoying thing is I love yoga. I don't know. I'm sure it'll have been said on the podcast before. I do yoga. I adore yoga. I've even done hot yoga. But I adore yoga. But saying that, I know exactly what kind of yoga teacher Jack would be, and he would know the tits off me. And I know I couldn't cope with it because it's too hard. It's his enthusiasm.
Yeah.
I feel like
I couldn't cope with it.
I feel like as a yoga teacher you need to be more peaceful.
You need to have a certain serenity and a sort of certain calmness.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it would just drive me absolutely bonkers. I would be sitting there and going, what the hell? And then instead of finding any kind of serenity and instead of doing Shavasana at the end and finding that inner peace and thinking, oh, I've had a good solid hour of bending and stretching and I feel great, I would be conjuring up images of murder. Which is not what yoga's about.
Mm-mm. No.
And I mean, I can swim. I'm not the strongest swimmer. I'm probably better at yoga than I am at swimming. But Constance has it right. You've got your head in the water. You know, and at least when you're splashing around, you're making noise.
Splash Jack in the face.
Splash Jack in the face. Hopefully, I mean, not to be unkind, but hopefully a bit of water goes on the side. He might slip. He might bite his head. He might fall into the water. Not that I wish the man ill. I fucking hate him.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, ma'am, for all the swearing I'm doing in this podcast today because there's strong emotion.
Yeah. While we were trying to come up with our questions for this week, because we work on them over, you know, a week or so. We try to plan these things out.
Believe it or not.
And while we were posing these questions to each other, it's funny, we sent this question to each other at the exact same time, which is very funny. But we do that a lot. Mine, when I originally sent it to Claire, was, would you rather have Jack teach you yoga, be your swimming coach, or just would you rather drown instead? And that is my response. I would rather drown instead. Just drown.
Drowning.
Drown.
Just drown. Just end it now.
Yep.
Couldn't cope.
Nope.
Couldn't cope. Do you know what annoyed me in the book? Jack's like, oh, I remember being bullied and blah, blah, blah. And that's horrible. That's horrible. And I feel for you, Jack. And then he kind of wants to redeem himself and show that he can do it. So therefore, I'm going to be the swim coach. What qualifies you for this, mate? Can you swim? For starters, do you have a teaching qualification? Can you do, you know, any kind of...
It's the same with yoga, though. How in the world was he a certified yoga instructor before he was marked? That's a child.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yoga, you need to know how to do yoga for starters, and you can do it from being a toddler, which is fine. But to actually qualify, you've got to go to the classes, and then you have to teach for a certain period of time to certify. No. I am raging.
Yeah, there's probably not a world in which a 14, 15, 16-year-old could become a certified yoga instructor while going to school, while being bullied on the swim team, while doing every other thing. Doing all the musical theater, because we know that Jack was doing all the musical theater. Hanging up all the origami swords. There's no way he could be a certified yoga instructor.
He's to practice origami between swim meets.
He's doing yoga poses whilst folding origami swords.
I mean, you know, you can do a lot when you're in child's pose, but no, it just drives me insane. So, saying that we all survive, Jack's teaching yoga or swimming or whatever. Would you rather kill Lauren Blake with poison or a knife?
Both!
Both!
Acceptable answers, I agree.
A poison blade.
Don't need any explanation.
Poison
blade. The
man's
going to die.
Yep.
He has to do yoga with
Jack. Poison blade.
He has to do hot yoga with Jack first.
Oh.
Then poison
torture.
Oh. It's a Geneva convention, you know, Constance. Love it. Love it. That's evil.
And Heath is with them.
That's worse than Neferet killing a church full of people. It's that evil, what you just suggested. And I'm here for it.
I gotta say, not that I like Lauren in either world, but I like Neferet's dealing with Lauren so much better in this world, and the way she deals with every other male character. Like, she doesn't want to be seduced by the white bull. That is not her end goal. And she fucking hates Lauren Blake's guts out. So it's great. I love it.
Yes.
Murder him all the way. Poison knife. Poisoned, then a poison knife, and then fire and hot yoga, all of it. He deserves all of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
No question.
I loved it in the book whenever Lauren Blake, other Lauren Blake is in the scene, you can physically feel Neferet and Lynette's eye roll.
Yeah.
Especially when they're spouting off Shakespeare, and they're like, ugh. The man has no original thoughts. Yeah.
That is one of my most favorite scenes, when they're like giggling while they're having a conversation with him. Like, oh my God, this guy's full of shit. This guy sucks. Oh my God, I hate him. He's so stupid. And they're like, hee hee. One of my favorite scenes.
Yes.
It's great. Now, is that the end of Would You Rather? Or.
I don't think it's the end. I have a feeling that our evil Constance has come up with some terrible questions to ask us.
Yes.
Hopefully they're
used to having the questions ahead of time. This is creeping me out.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to it.
All right. I have a good question for you here. Would you rather be a vampire, but with the Human Alliance, or be a human serving directly to Neferet?
Oh my God. So a vampire within Zoe's world.
This is all Otherworld. Sorry, this is all Otherworld. Would you want to be blue or red? Either one, your choice. Vampire, but you'd have to be like in the caves helping the human resistance, or be a human directly serving other Neferet.
That's a tough question.
Yeah, it is.
I think just from my love of vampires, I would have to choose being a vampire no matter what kind of vampire I was, just strictly for the fact of being a vampire.
I agree. I'm going to go with that as well. I would be less scared for my life, I think, because if you're humans under Neferet, any Neferet, you're essentially food or a sacrifice.
It depends on which
something part, getting in your way.
It depends on which part of the book we're talking about, though, because she makes a shift during Forgotten. Oh,
yeah, but at this point, realistically, if you're talking about the tunnels and stuff, you're still quite early on in Loved and Lost, aren't you?
Yeah, but that could be vampires. That could be the vampires in the tunnels. That's not talking about the humans.
True.
And she does make a shift to where she wants to treat humans better, and she wants, like, she wants to be their actual goddess and do things for them.
If they do things for her, though, there's still the caveat. They've still got to essentially see her as their goddess and worship her and be completely 100% devoted to her. So there's a massive caveat. I'm still going to go vampire because I might have some cool special powers as well.
Yeah.
And if I'm a red vampire, then I can use the force on everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still would rather be a vampire.
Yeah.
Let's just all be vampires.
Yeah, I'd rather be a vampire too out of all of that. But it's still a fun question.
It was a fun
question. Very, very, yeah. Yeah. I forgot what this is like.
Oh, and one, I already asked Amanda this before, but would you rather have lavender chocolate chip cookies or brown pop?
She even made it worse for me. She said non-diet. She's trying to kill me.
Oh, yeah. Non-diet brown pop.
I have never had lavender chocolate chip cookies. I have Googled edible lavender and can get it. I can source it because I've contemplated making the recipe PC cast posted on the fan page. Because I do like to bake. I'm nowhere near, not, I'm not in your league, Constance, but I do like to bake. So I have contemplated making them. I don't know what lavender tastes like. I've got no frame of reference for it.
So kind of soapy, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. It tastes borderline soap to me.
Do I have a choice of what kind of brown pop it is?
Yeah, brown pop.
Okay, this is going to freak Amanda out, but I'm going to say brown pop in this instance because I don't particularly want to eat a bar of soap. And... if I can specifically, just to piss off Zoe, because I like it too, I'm going to have Dr. Pepper.
Yes!
I will admit to preferring no sugar or, you know, zero sugar soft drinks, but I will have full fat if necessary, if needed. And I used to drink Dr. Pepper quite a lot. I don't drink fizzy drinks now. I'm not keen on them. But I used to drink a lot of Dr. Pepper. And if you want instant diabetes, have Dr. Pepper with peach schnapps. It is the sweetest thing on earth. It's delicious. Don't knock it till you try it, but you will instantly have to go and seek medical attention as that's that full of sugar.
Oh, I can top that. When I was in grade school, my friend's dad came to our cafeteria to eat lunch or whatever or something. He gave me a Dr. Pepper and a bunch of sugar packets, and he dared me. He was a very silly man. He dared me to put all these sugar packets into the Dr. Pepper. I was literally bouncing off the walls, off the tables, and then I believe I passed out during like my choir class. We're standing singing, and then I was just like, bam. Couldn't drink Dr. Pepper for a year after that. It just tasted so weak.
I used to work with someone. And they used to get like big full bottles, like the 2-liter bottles of full fat Coke. Oh. And bag of sugar and they would pour the sugar into the cork.
Oh.
It's one of the vilest things. It was disgusting. Once they had the tiny little sugar packets and they kept pouring them in as well. And honestly, I was physically ill when I saw them doing this. They would have them sitting there on their desk. They would have the bottle of cork, a bag of sugar, and they would spoon the sugar into the cork as they were drinking it. Full fat sugar.
I feel like I need to take it.
Dear Lord.
You need to take some medication just hearing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is the worst. I have
some insulin right now.
Yeah. People are gross when it comes to brown pop. I would rather not have brown pop, but if it's between lavender chocolate chip cookies or eating a bar of soap or drinking a Dr. Pepper, I'll have a Dr. Pepper, please.
See, I dislike this question because
it'll kill you.
And allergic to lavender. So which one am I going to do? Which way am I going to die today? Drowning with Jack? Like, what am
I going to do? Would you rather do hot yoga with other Jack?
Oh, God.
Go swimming with other Jack? Eat a lavender chocolate chip cookie and possibly die of itching in the allergy intake? Or have the full fat pop? It's four tortures. Or I'll give you the drowning option.
I'll just drown. I'll just drown then.
Or sacrifice weed, Denise, to get out of it.
You're giving me all the worst options, and I still choose drowning. I think, no, really, really answering this question, I'm not going to eat the cookies because as much as lavender like makes me itchy if I touch it and I have reactions to it, I don't want that reaction to happen on the inside. And plus, if I drink a full sugar soda, I can just take insulin and I'll be fine. So that's what I'm going to do. It might make me feel like utter garbage, but that's what I'm going
to
do.
But you don't know how that lavender is going to react to you internally. The way it's going to, your body will process it.
Yeah.
I don't even want to touch it to put it into my mouth. Because even if it doesn't do anything on the inside, I'm going to break out in a rash.
Have to like wear gloves or have tongs. Like,
please do not touch me with lavender cookies. Okay. Is that the end? Is that the end of Would You Rather?
I think that's the end. Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
Oh.
Oh.
Thanks for joining us again, Constance.
Yes.
I'm happy to. I'm happy to torture you with brown pop and lavender cookies.
No. Terrible question. You're trying to murder me.
No. No.
Oh my gosh, that was so much fun.
I love Constance. Can I just keep her forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? And how gorgeous was her hair?
I know. Her hair is always so pretty. And I really love that her hair matched her tie-dye shirt with her merlion on it. I'm so glad she wore her shirt.
Oh, she's just in every way, shape, and form a delightful human being.
Everything about her is fantastic.
She's going to get the biggest hug if we ever meet her in real life.
I know. Man, wouldn't that be fun?
Yes, and I'm not going to let her go. She's going to come home in my pocket.
Yes. Well, no, don't take her away.
Well, just for a little bit. We'll share.
Oh, okay.
Joint custody.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Oh, we need to talk about what we want to happen in Found.
We need our predictions.
Yes, we need our predictions. Like we did when we read The Diviners.
Yes. We're still doing it. I don't know what you're talking about.
But before King of Crows.
Yes.
We had our predictions for what was going to happen at the end of the series.
We did.
And so we need to have our predictions for what's going to happen in Found.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Ooh.
I really want there to be a Neferet on Neferet battle.
Yes.
I really want that to happen.
I agree. I cannot see original Neferet in any way, shape, or form wanting to share power with other Neferet.
No.
Especially because other Neferet's going through to say, oh, how did you become a mortal? Because I kind of want to do that. It's kind of like, bitch, I worked this out by myself. Do your homework.
Yes. So Neferet on Neferet battle has to happen.
Yes.
Has to happen.
Do you think Lynette may die during this battle? Or at all? Because at the end of Forgotten, she comes close. If it wasn't for Weedon sacrificing herself.
Yeah.
Could that turn the tide for other Neferet if Lynette was to die?
Yeah, I really think so. Because, look, let's face it. We've seen Aphrodite's vision of a middle-aged lady dying and then flickery Neferet. And I think that they're just so stupid, they don't realize that it's not Neferet, like, morphing into something else. It's two Neferets.
Yeah.
And so I think, oh, I hope it doesn't happen, but it's probably going to happen, that Lynette is going to die and original Spider Neferet is going to take over. But can I just tell you that I love Spider Neferet, and I hope that she is as terrifying as I want her to be.
Oh, I'm kind of getting, like, did you ever see Species?
Yes.
I'm kind of getting those kind of vibes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I just want her to be huge and terrifying and disgusting and gross in every way, shape, or form.
Kind of mixed a little bit with Xenomorph from Alien.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's got acid blood.
Yeah, I wish. I want her to be completely awful because I want to cosplay that so bad.
Yes, just cosplay. Don't go with it again. Don't go with
it. I do not want to become a giant spider person in real life.
Okay, so right, I think there's going to be deaths. So there's a question mark over the net. We think that's a possibility. Is there any other deaths that you might occur? One Neferet has to die.
At least one Neferet has to die.
Do you think they both may survive?
I mean, they can't both survive. But what if they both don't survive? What if they both die? That's like everyone's dream, right? No Neferet?
No Neferet. How do you kill an immortal? Because they couldn't. That's why she got imprisoned.
I don't know, but maybe they're going to have other Kelowna, and other Kelowna's going to have something to do with it?
Could Lynette survive, but other Neferet sacrifices herself to kill Psycho Spider Neferet.
Do you think that other Neferet would do that?
She's starting to regain her humanity somewhat.
Yeah.
And I think if it threatened Lynette, there is a possibility.
I'm sorry, I just thought of something.
Go, 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 go.
Aphrodite has the power to give second chances. Is she going to give one of the Neferets a second chance?
It won't be original Neferet. She is beyond a second chance. She can't get a second chance. There's no redemption.
Is that what's going to, like, is it going to happen right now? She's going to use all of her powers to give Spider Neferet a second chance. And then all of her marks going to disappear and she's just going to wither away and die. No, that's not going to happen.
No, she's
going to
have a children. She's going to have a children. She's going to have a children. She could, with other Neferet, how much of a mark would that take away? I've just got this image of Aphrodite having this glorious mark and then every now and again just a smudge goes down the middle and it's just completely broken up.
Yeah. I don't want her to lose her beautiful mark.
Could they sacrifice Jack? No, that's my wishful thinking again.
We could dream. Okay, ooh, I thought of something. I thought of something terrible, speaking of Aphrodite,
it's gonna be involving
Heath, losing her mark. What if, because we know that Aphrodite will have children and grandchildren and grow old, what if Darius dies? Because then she wouldn't have him there anymore. And I mean, obviously he can't have children because we know that vampires can't have children. So what if he dies here? And then she gets with Kevin. Yes! That is my goal.
But Kevin's a vampire.
Original Kevin, not extra crispy Kevin.
Okay.
Original recipe Kevin.
That's terrifying.
But yeah. He's a human, and she will be human again.
She will be human again. Okay, that's a possibility.
Right,
I don't know if that would happen in the next book, though. That feels like it will be either a different separate book or a new series or something like that. I don't know if I would find that one out. Okay. I hate saying this name. It makes me want to vomit.
What?
Heath.
No.
Now, I'm sorry, but one of the reasons why Zoe goes to the other world is because she wants to see Heath. She can deny it all she wants, but she wants to go and see Heath. She would probably even hook up with him while they're there, but that's by the by. Do you think other Heath might come back through with them and basically back all the way around to the starting point of angst and teenage
Please
grow up.
Please no.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen either.
Please no.
I'll tell you which character I think is 100% guaranteed safety. Grandma Redbird.
Grandma Redbird. Grandma Redbird will live forever. Yes.
Unfortunately, yes, I think Zoe's going to survive.
Well, yeah, she always will. Do you think there's going to be anything with Ice Cream Shoes? And the fact...
Casey.
And the fact that she has both... powers, like is that a new thing that maybe Zoe's been gifted with?
It's like, awfully coincidental that Casey has come along and been gifted to strong affinities to two elements so quickly.
She's got to be important, and she knows that bad stuff is happening, so she's gonna be a star, hopefully.
Yeah,
I don't know. She's got to be important though. She wouldn't have been changed already.
It's too big of a thing. She's got to be important. There is going to be...
Neferet on Neferet battle.
Yeah, there's a potential for Lynette to die. There is a potential for other Neferet to sacrifice herself.
Potential for Aphrodite giving other Neferet a second chance. Or Spider Neferet.
Or Spider Neferet. Like, that's a push.
I feel like she's... It is a push, but
that's
she's...
That's a push.
I think that's just like my ridiculous fan fiction, is that she loses her mark, and then she immediately has babies with human Kevin. It all happens in this last book.
So much. Okay, Casey having some kind of something...
Darius potentially dying.
Yeah. Heath potentially coming back.
No.
I don't want that.
Ew, ew, ew.
Oh no, what?
What if there's like a threesome with Tully and Starks? Gross. I regret saying that.
I regret saying that.
I'm sorry.
Wee Denise is a sprite. I hope we see her again.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're getting very sprite happy in these books. I've never known so many sprites to turn up, even in a book about fear. So I hope we see Wee Denise again.
I hope we see Wee Denise again, too. She's too great
to just
disappear.
Do you think the final showdown is going to be in original world or other world?
That's hard to say because, I mean...
They're all coming over to the original world now.
Yeah, so why would they go back?
Because the series is called...
It's got to take place there. Yeah. I don't know about that one. Oh.
Do you think the White Bull might interfere?
No, I hope not. If the White Bull shows up, is the Black Bull going to show up? Can it just end with a bull battle?
Yeah. Oh, we haven't talked about Kelowna.
Wait, hold on. I thought of something.
Yes.
Okay, look.
How big's this book? It's not that big.
It's not. Okay, so I want there to be a bull battle, right? So at the end, they're going to be riding the bulls.
Oh,
and they're going to be fighting on bullback.
Oh, like jousts. Amazon shield and sword.
Too much.
Oh my god.
I hope the bulls don't show up.
No, I hope the bulls don't show up.
I'm sorry, I interrupted with bull battles. You were talking about Kelowna. I'm sorry.
Okay. Who is going to wake Kelowna? And is he going to be good? He's got to be good.
Oh, he's definitely going to be good. Other Kelowna is definitely 100% going to be good. I believe that in my heart.
Yeah. He has to be, because there's no reason for him not to be.
Do you think that Erebus will join the fight?
I would like to think so, because Erebus was always like this mischievous little imp in the background in the original series. He did lots, but you didn't really see anything apart from him poking fun at his brother. I would like him to be in a little bit more.
Yeah. So maybe he'll come and... Maybe if they go to release Kelowna, what if they accidentally release Erebus instead? That would be, like, happening with the oppositeness of everything that's going on.
So by releasing Kelowna / Erebus, that means they're actually back in the other world. So they've come back to the original world. The final showdown is going to be in the other world. By that reasoning, because they need Kelowna. Kelowna's the immortal who can kill the immortal.
Yeah, Kelowna is key.
So I think we've solved that previous conundrum.
Unless they go back and forth 100 times.
Oh, honestly, it's getting ridiculous. Okay, other question.
What?
When is Grandma Redbird going to commercially market her cookies? Because it's gotten ridiculous. Like, I don't actually think we mentioned her cookies even once in the summary, but goddamn, every other...
Those cookies were everywhere. It was product placement.
It was ridiculous, wasn't it? Oh, there was something else I was going to ask. Oh, it's gone. Gone. Dragon and Anastasia. They died in the original series.
Yes. And then in this one, Lenobia and Travis died.
Yeah, so do you think that's kind of the like-for-like devastation in that regard? That they're not going to die in this world.
Yeah, they'll probably be fine.
They'll be fine. It made me sad that Lenobia and Travis died, by the way.
I know, I like
that. And all the horses. I was very sad. I was like, kill dragon. A little sad about Anastasia. Not bothered. You can have dragon. It's fine. Rafaim. Okay, that's what I was thinking of. Rafaim doesn't turn into a bird in the other world.
I think he's going to stay there. Because why would you come back?
That was going to be my question. Do you think Rafaim and Stevie Ray will stay in the other world?
That would suck for Zoe.
Eh, do we care?
I mean, not really. But that would suck. But, like, why on earth would Rafaim go back? If he knows that he doesn't have to be a bird...
Because he's full of honor now.
He is. Like, he's so honestly, honorable.
He's like, he would do it because he knows that he has a penance to pay, and that was his punishment, and he's not skipping out on that punishment.
No, and also he would stay with Stevie Ray wherever Stevie Ray goes. You know, he's not going to be like, peace, bitch. I'm going to go over here and not be a bird. You know he's not going to do
that. Caw-caw over here. Oh, dear me. Okay.
Okay, so I think that's pretty good. I think we have a pretty good vision for what's going to happen. I will not be surprised if we are wrong in every single
way. Is blood pouring from your eyes? Do you now have a massive migraine? Are you seeing these visions are true?
I'm not living these visions right now.
Okay. Okay. So I guess we'll have to just read the book and find out now.
I guess we will. Good thing it's out. Good thing it's out and we get to talk about it.
Oh, that's the hard way. That's the hard way.
I know. It was so hard not to read it in advance. I just want to read them all. And I've had it since it came out.
I can see it on the shelf behind you.
I know. It's there.
It's and I want judging to read it. You for not reading it.
It is. So are we, like, okay, we've got our predictions, but does that mean we also skip favorite final thought quote? We're just kind of like flying by the seat of our pants here for this. I think
this is
skip
weird.
It.
I think weird. I think we need to. I don't think
just skip everything because it's really important for everyone to listen to this episode, read Found, and come back next week for our discussion of Found.
Yeah, let's pause now. Go yes. read Found, and we'll come back.
Yes. Okay. So that's it. That's it for this episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire.
Join us next time as we discuss Found, the final book in the House of Night Otherworld series by PC Cast and Kristen Cast, narrated by Caitlin Davies. Contact us if you'd like to join us for an upcoming Would You Rather segment or if you have any books to recommend. Look out for the next Would You Rather poll on social media. Don't forget about our book club and monthly challenges on Facebook. And be sure to visit our brand new shop on Redbubble at fictionalhangove.redbubble.com. That's fictionalhangove, no E-R, .redbubble.com to find all your favorite Fictional Hangover themed merchandise. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
You can find us at fictionalhangover.com, follow us on Instagram at fictionalhangover, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover, and on Twitter at fictionalhangover, no E-R. If you'd like this episode, check out our others and rate, review and subscribe so you don't miss out. And finally, special thanks to Liz Emerson for our music. You can find her on Facebook and Patreon. Thanks for listening.